Hello and welcome to the Digital of Business and Business of Digital podcast, where we interview thought leaders, industry experts and professionals behind the successful and inspiring digital marketing campaigns. This podcast is brought to you by Linkjoy, a tool that helps you get 10x out of your digital presence by creating branded links, curated pages and link in bio. Subscribe now and start your journey towards becoming a digital marketing pro.
Hello, how are you? Today, we are going to do a podcast with Georgie. Georgie is the founder of Global Link Service. What are we going to talk about? We are going to talk about paid ad strategy for small businesses. And we have Georgie with us. Georgie, from a very young age, was always interested in technology and computers. Fast forward a few years, Georgie has a master's degree in digital marketing and has been a fellow member of the Chartered Institute of Marketing. Georgie has worked into the advertising world for different countries, for Georgia, Russia, and England. Welcome, Georgie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Sahil. Thank you. Well, welcome, everybody. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for a very warm welcome, Sahil. Just a couple of words about myself. As I said, I was born in Georgia. I was raised in Russia and lived half of my life here now in England. And as you mentioned, I always had a passion with technology since a young age. Passion kind of stuck with me. So as I said, I've done a business information degree. Then I've done a digital marketing master's degree. And I tried to pursue this for the past 10 years, I would say at least. It keeps me going, keeps me motivated. There is always a new challenges within the digital marketing industry. And it's been an interesting journey. We'll see what lies ahead as well.
Great. I think one thing which I have seen in all the digital marketers who have been fairly successful in a way is they are always curious, is what we also discussed just a few moments ago, that curiosity is something which always keeps them going, because every time, every 6 months, things are changing and then you have to find some other way of doing it. And the things that we are going to talk about, Facebook ads, Google ads, or advertising in general, paid ads, it has changed a lot. What has been the overall arc? How do you think the whole shift is coming in last? So you have been in the industry for last 10 years. Facebook has just killed its organic reach. Instagram is coming down in organic reach. That is also there. What do you feel about the whole thing? How is the shift coming?
I mean, the shift has been there for years and years. Our job as a marketer is to try to adapt to ever-coming changes and the best ways possible. Obviously, with the latest introduction with iOS 14, if you've been aware of that, the Pixel, there has been a slight issues with the tracking for the, especially the e-commerce. But then again, it's a little challenges, and we have to just work way around them and to find solutions. That's what we're here for. And as I mentioned, that's what makes the job interesting, because it's always ever constantly changing industry, especially with Facebook. It's constantly updating new algorithms, same with Google. And to keep on top of it, you have to have a little bit of curiosity, definitely, as a digital marketer, and to be on top of it. And a little bit of a passion and the curiosity, I think it's a good ingredient.
Great. So we have the ingredients ready, and let's get to the cooking part now. So number one question, where to start Facebook ads, or where to start Google ads, or what should be the first step before starting the ads, or what should be the mindset of getting into the ads world?
That's a really good question. A really good question. And there is a few steps that should be considered before you advertise, start advertising. First of all, to save you time, money, and headache, to put it simply. So, with regards to the channels, different channels that you approach, and the planning obviously is the key part. First of all, to identify, define your advertising goals, what you're trying to achieve as a business, as a service, as a business owner. What's the end goal? A second mistake from the clients that I have worked with, I've seen, is they don't spend enough time on identifying the right target audience before doing the advertising. Then somehow they get a little bit frustrated because the conversions is not there, and et cetera, et cetera. But identifying the right target audience, first of all, it will save you the time. You will get a straight away better quality leads for cheaper costs. So it's a win-win situation if it's done correctly, mapped out correctly beforehand. And then we another important part to identify where the target audience is, because I mean, one thing is Facebook, another thing is Google, and they are a little bit different in terms of how I would classify them. Not for every business is the Facebook. So for example, when the client comes to me and says, here we go, I have a service, such a service, depending on the service, depending on client type, depending on the product, we obviously, the two largest is the Facebook and Google, but they have a totally different concept. When we use the Facebook, is for more, I would say, the brand awareness, where educational part comes into a part where we have to educate a little bit the consumer, where Google is a little bit opposite, because people are already aware of the services or the products that they're looking for. So they are halfway there to the conversion. And that's why we call them or classify them as a warm leads always. And there will always be a little warmer leads than the Facebook, where it doesn't require you to spend any time to educate the consumer, to let them know about your product or the benefits of the product, because the client is past that stage and they go into the Google actually looking either to purchase your service or product. And that's where we have to identify the line at the beginning. So straight away, we will see based on service or the product, which channel is the better. Also, there is a LinkedIn as well. We don't have to forget for specific products and services, but the main ones is still Google and the Facebook for the majority of the advertising. So I would definitely keep that in mind as well. So depending on where you're going, what service you're offering, always to keep in mind that there is two different channels, where one requires educational content, brand awareness content, and the one where people are already looking for your services. And the data is already available. So, I mean, to start with, even a Google Keyword Planner will give you the basic details of the volume searches for your product or services. And then you can make a more constructive decision based on actual data rather than taking a guess, if that makes sense at all. So that was probably first kind of a steps towards going in the right direction. Then obviously you would consider the right budget, right the campaign format, where you want to campaign, for how long you want to campaign, what you're trying to achieve with the campaign. Then obviously you try to, I mean, have a few products in line as well. I always tell them, the business owners or the whatever they're selling, is to not just to have one single product, but at least two, three products, because it's very hard to have a business with a single product in existence, where you cannot have any upsells, any follow-up emails to any sales. So that's always another interesting fact, but it's always good to prepare early. So rather than going all out with one single product, maybe hold on a bit and prepare two, three products, have it for the upsells, etc., and then try to launch. And that's another point. Obviously, the testing, measuring, and that's the key. One of the great advertisers says, David Ogilvy, and if you don't stop testing, your advertisers will never stop improving. So, I mean, that's really, really true. And it comes down to this digital age. To improve, you always gotta keep testing with a different creative, with a different graphics, with the different variations of the ads, specifically with the Facebook, but with Google as well.
I think testing is the most important part, where a lot of people fail in advertisements, and because they just start with one campaign and then they feel like the number is in the range which they had already thought about. So maybe the conversion rate or maybe the per click rate which is coming on them, and those kind of things. CPC is something that they had thought about and it is matching, and then they stop experimenting. So one thing that I think everybody can take away from this podcast is, don't stop experimenting. Because if you stop experimenting, if you stop testing, you won't be able to grow. And sometimes in Facebook and other things, what happens is the audience becomes obsolete after a point. And your ad is not going to create more impact. It is just going to go, the cost is just going to increase day by day because it is showing the ad to the same ad audience and those kind of things. So you need to bring some freshness into it. You need to bring some changes.
Absolutely. That's 100% correct. And the more you test and more creative you throw, you have a more chance of getting that cost lower and the reach higher. Absolutely. So that's a tip to keep in mind as well with regards to testing. It cannot be undervalued.
Okay. So when we start the advertisement, one thing I think you said very well was understanding for few people, Facebook is important, and for few people, Google is important. Mm-hmm. Because the kind of client you are attracting and what the client needs. Because Facebook is a lot about, so if we know the AIDA model, it is a lot about the awareness part, where you are showing the ads to a cold audience, and Google is all about somebody who has intended to search around those things. So it is search-based advertisement in that way. Do you feel the audience network which are there? So Facebook has its own audience network, ad network, which is there, and Google has its own ad network. How important are these ad networks when we advertisement when we advertise on these networks? So
I mean, it is important, and they play in the monopoly, really. I mean, where else would you go? I mean,
yes,
there is a Bing, obviously, there is the Yahoo for the Russian market, etc. But Google still
is leading the way.
Holds, 90% of the volume is still there. So obviously, the advertisers will still come back where the people are searching, where the volume is. Same with the Facebook. Facebook obviously has its own advantages, and it's a little bit, absolutely, kind of the two most complex platforms out there, Facebook and Google, without any hesitation. But another point to maybe highlight when you're advertising is just to make sure you get like a Google at the beginning of the stage, also the Facebook pixel, make sure it's all set up correctly. That's maybe I forgot to mention, but that would be a
basic
basic thing to also just to keep an eye as well. Also for them to increase the revenues, etc. As I said, the upsells is one thing. Also the retargeting is another key aspect of the Facebook and the Google. So make sure you spend a little bit of time investigating the how to retarget, because as we know, depending on the price scale, the conversion is not gonna be likely on the first occasion. And more the price, more consideration.
Yes,
absolutely. It needs, and that's how we, anyways, do it. So.
True. So let's deep down into the audience a bit and understand it first. So one thing is, before we start a campaign, we need to decide what we want to do. So what are the kind of end goals that we are trying? If you can shed some light on it, that how can we select an end goal, because there are a lot of ways in which Facebook ads work. You can do it for app downloads, you can do it for traffic, you can do it for kind of conversion for e-commerce websites, you can do it for just website visits, and there are different ways of doing it. Can you explain broadly what are the ways and how the audience can tap into those?
Absolutely.
Things?
I mean, that's why we mentioned the first is to identify the goals that you're trying to achieve. So either it's a lead generation, either it's a sales, either it's an app install. So it could be millions of ways. But the one thing is still relevant is the what audience you're targeting. And if the audience is not right, you can have a list of thousands of people, but they're not going to be converting. You better have maybe smaller percentage of people, but which are very, very interested.
Audience.
Interested in your product. So you have a lot higher percentage of converting them types of clients. So identifying the right clients, I mean, it could be just in a simple, basic terms. So first of all, just to try to identify what you're trying to achieve, and then who your core audience is. It could be the senior decision-making people, depending on a product, depending on services. And that's why I said also with regards to the Google and the Facebook, I mean, I deal with the clients. My agency is not very big, and I only can manage a certain amount of clients, basically. Yes. And I tend to work with only a certain certain channels, I'll put it that way, where I know there is a definite demand and I can have the good return on investment for the client that way, rather than chasing every single client. So another good book, it would be the Breakthrough Advertising. If you heard Eugene Schwartz, he mentioned one concept, which is really, really, I liked it, and it saved me time, not only in a business and a client wise, but also working and doing advertising for the clients as well, where he mentioned, to put it in my words, basically, he said, as a marketer, our job is to don't create the demand, but channel existing demand. So same with me. To create a demand for the product, it's very expensive. You have to educate the person. You have to roll out resources. You have to have a budget. You have to have a correct. And it costs a lot. And not every business owner may be aware of that. They think, oh, I have a great idea, but to roll it out, it's a brand new idea. Nobody knows about it. And it's either it's going to... it's going to be tricky, put it that way. And whether with the concept he says, like there is already existing demand, and that's what I do. I mean, on a Google, I identify the industries that I work with. I know they day in, day out, there is a volume for this demand. For me, it makes job a lot easier and the client stays happy as well. So it's a win-win situation as well. And for any maybe a digital agency owners as well, that's a one maybe a tip to give, rather than just chasing every single client out there, because I tried that and it just burns you out as well. You can acquire the clients, but acquisition is the one thing, keeping the clients is totally another. So that's where you've got to be a little bit honest as well with the clients. Well, I don't like, because my face is online and my reputation is basically because I deal face to face with every single client pretty much. And if I don't deliver something, then it's my reputation on the line. And it's not the way, because as I said, I don't work with a long term contracts like some agency owners do for 12 months, 6 months, PPC contracts. With me, it's just a 30 days contract. So that basically shows if I don't deliver results in them 30 days, then the client is happy to walk away. And that motivates me and gives a trust to the client as well. And rather than tying up somebody by pen and paper, I would rather do it by results. And once the results keeps delivering, then the client wouldn't have, I mean, second thought, why would he leave if you keep the results? So it's an important fact. Also, identify the emerging markets as well. So some I call them emerging markets where, for example, I'll give you a few, but I'm not going to obviously. Oh, for example, solicitors, criminal lawyers, we're talking about drainage industry, where people usually go on Google and they don't think too much. When they have, for example, drainage problem in a building, they're not going to spend days researching for which company is better, this. They go the first one who's at the top of the Google, and then they give them a call. Same with the solicitors. Not all the lawyers and solicitors, but few of them, which are in emergency situations. And that's what I call kind of a high converting industries. And there is a few of them, and I'd rather kind of stick and work in that industry. Obviously, there is a different challenges, and I'm always interested in challenges. So there is a few interesting projects I take on as well, where I don't have maybe that much experience, but it gives me a challenge as well to, if I feel that we can deliver results, then let it be. So, but then again, as I said, identifying the right channel, the right product, the right message with your product, and having that plan from the beginning, it will make life basically easier for yourself and save you a bit of money as well.
So one thing I liked was targeting the high intent audience, and mm-hmm. where if you are trying to do ads, do where demand is already there, because
exactly.
If you are going to pay for awareness also, and then you are going to pay for the demand that you have created, it will always become costlier. And then you need a lot of money to first educate the audience. And after they are educated about the product, then sell the product, and then make sure that people don't drop off in between, because it happens a lot.
Absolutely.
So the conversion rate is there, proper there, and it needs a lot of money. And the best example which I liked was for the drainage. They are not going to search a lot. They are just going to dial the first, second number which they have got and then ask for the appointment or get thing done easily. So try to find your own niche. I think Georgie has found a good niche in that way. And maybe we will pick his brain a lot in the next half an hour for knowing more. So finding the niche is very important. Again, a lot of agency owners, what I find or freelancers do is, they try, if they're into advertisement, they try to take each and every advertisement coming their way or the opportunity mm-hmm. coming their way. How should they segregate the inquiries that they are coming through? Or how do you take up that if you want to work with this client or not? What are the things that you do?
First of all, I obviously have a consultation with the client. First of all, I see his intention, his, her intention, what's the client's trying to achieve. And if there is a possibility, first of all, then we verify the demand, like I mentioned, make sure his, her product or services has an actual demand. That would be one thing. And then the demand is one thing, but obviously the intentions of the business owner itself, how far, what's the plans, how far does the business owner wants to take the project, etc. So that's another vision. And, how far is the vision of the project? And that's another key aspect. And then obviously how the client wants to execute the final project. I mean, there's a millions of ways. There is millions of different routes of approaching. But we have to also keep in mind that not every client, I mean, I seem to work with the small to medium-sized businesses, not enterprise companies. So in that term, the budget with the small to medium-sized companies always plays a little bit of a impact as well with them. So they have to be very careful and cautious as well. Where do they spend the money and et cetera, et cetera. So that's another probably the voice between the, like when they say, is it the better SEO or the PPC route, et cetera. That's another debate, but there is no one answer to that question as well. So because SEO, as we know, it's a technical aspect. It does take time. And client has to be mentally prepared for that period of time. And no business owner can be just hanging about for 3 to 6 months and just waiting until the SEO kicks in. So that's has to be substituted with maybe a PPC and an SEO if the client has. But some, as I've seen, some just like you mentioned, Sahil, some just take the clients out of, and then not only they get frustrated, the client gets obviously frustrated, the end result is not there. And obviously you have a zero chance of keeping that client. So that's what I'm saying. It's just it's a win-win situation. If you can disqualify this, it's a win for the agencies and win for the client itself, if you can come to kind of an agreement. And obviously, if the agencies have experience within a particular niche industry, it's always helpful because we've got the data, we've got the spend on both platforms. We know what converts, what doesn't. So we don't have to guess. I mean, where people, it would be hard to replicate, obviously, if you don't have some kind of a statistics and data to go in, and if you don't have a experience in this field. So, but... But then again, obviously, if you're starting out and if you just have maybe a small budget, just a 5 or 10 a day, maybe it's just a play about with yourself and experiment. If you on a serious budget and you're trying to achieve something, then I would definitely get somebody professional involved, because first of all, it will save you the money, what you spending. And second of all, you will get twice, three times as much results. So that's the balance and probabilities. Yeah.
Okay, so when we say to get professional help, and so in a way there will be a lot of agencies who are listening to this, and they do these services for their clients also, handling the Facebook mm-hmm. ads. What should be the approach in a way that there are different aspects of Facebook ads or Google ads? For Google, it is not a lot about the copy, not a lot about the graphics and those kind of things. But in Facebook, you get a lot of those things where you have to take care of the graphics, you have to take care of the copy, what is written, the kind of caption that you have, the call to action which is there. How does that process happens with the clients? Do you do the whole part, or are the clients involved in the same? You outsource it to somebody. What should be the optimum way of doing this?
Optimum way, probably it's a collaboration between the us and the client. We advise the clients because clients cannot know what the call to actions has to be in the video, what format of the video has to be, if there's a, you know, any kind of a captions, etc., what the video has to be portrayed. But we, from the experience, we know the attention span is very short. We know the visual, the video works really well with the Facebook. We know that the first 5 seconds of that video is very important. And the call to actions throughout the video is also another key. Then there is the time frame as well. The videos, the one thing we do like the videos with Facebook, because it gives the ability to retarget. So I'll give you another tip. When we do the video ads, so basically let's say it's a 2-minute video ad based on a product or a service. We throw it out there to, let's say, main kind of audience. But what we do then is we highlight only people who watched, let's say, above 1 minute of that video or 1.5 minute of that video. Only people we will retarget is them that showed some interest. Obviously, if the people spend a minute watching, somehow they are connected to the product. And that's a good tip. And with the videos, it does work. So maybe to keep in mind. But as I said, absolutely. With Facebook, it's a video, it's a visual. With Google, I mean, with the Google search, it's a text-based, and you've got to catch the attention differently. You still got to structure the ad correctly to have the higher quality score for each keywords, etc., to have the positioning right. I mean, if you're advertising on Google, you want to be in the top 3 pack. Where the 70% of the clicks will be distributed between the 1 and 3rd result.
Yes.
And so that's where you ideally want to be placed with. Then obviously there's different call to action extensions depending on the message you're trying to portray. And Google even allows you now to basically lead submissions throughout the search result. Then there's the display ads, then there's the many ways as well. As I said, Google is a very, very complex, one of the complex platforms out there. And to say I know it 100%, I would be lying. I'm an honest man. And I know enough, but to say I know it all, I'll never say that. I'm still learning myself, and there's always something new.
That reminds me, after doing, so we have also done a lot of ads. We have done around 35 million Indian currency. We have spent that much. And then also we still are figuring it out in Facebook ads, Google ads. What is the new thing that they have done? They change things here and there. Facebook Business Manager is becoming complex day by day. Starting Facebook ads or Instagram ads is one of the easiest thing. You can start just by pushing that button, boost post. But when you get into the complexity, it is becoming day in and day out, it has become complex. But there is a hinge which I have, which a lot of people in the industry also see. With machine learning coming into place, there's a lot of job which a marketer used to do in Facebook ads. Like you said that you are thinking about somebody who has seen the video for 1.5 seconds and 1 second and retargeting those people in that way. Do you think slowly and gradually Facebook is going to do the same thing themselves through machine learning and through those things?
I mean, the machine learning is it's been developing, and I think it's here to stay. It's definitely not going anywhere. And the only way it's going to start increasing, and more of the machine learners we will see. Same with the Google Ads. I mean, it's been really, really dominant. And I think there is a really good use for the Google Ads machine learning. I mean, it has really good benefits if you use it correctly. Can it replace completely the manual person? We may be not at that stage as of yet, because still the human brains, we are still free to analyze and think and make our decisions in our own kind of a way. But nevertheless, automation and AI is there to play. It really helps with, especially with the video optimizations, etc. It saves a lot of time. I mean, specifically with Google, I mean, I use automation and absolutely without the automation, it saves me absolutely loads of amount of time. And you can use it really in a very creative ways. Now, there is so many ways of using a Google. There is a Google Scripts now, even based on weather. So like I've said, the drainage. So for example, when there is bad weather, we know we can automatically adjust the bids based on the weather. So there is a really so much room to play with automation is just endless. Then there is a bids reporting, you name it. So
true. And how important is for people to analyze things? You have focused on it a lot. You have said you need to analyze your ads. A lot of people say Facebook ads, it is important for it to run for one day. Some people say in the first 3 hours, we know how is it going. Few people say for Google ads, it requires at least 1 week to understand. Is there a half-life kind of thing for these kind of things? Or it is random guesses which different marketers have?
It's still a guess. I mean, one will say that. Yeah. But there is a kind of a time frame. I agree with you with regards to the Facebook. It's a little bit quicker. You will know your results if it's your ads gonna do well or not.
Yeah.
Within 48, 72 hours. Where with the Google, it does take a little bit longer. And I do advise for about a week at least to take the effect for the algorithm to kick in to take the effect. If there's any kind of major changes to has been done.
Great. So as we are coming towards the end of the podcast, and usually I ask two questions. One is, what is the motivation and where does learning come from? So I think initially you have already answered the question about motivation. And before we come to learning part, how can somebody get into the Facebook advertisement world, and which are the players or which are the people that you think are important to follow? So for people who are in marketing, Seth Godin is somebody which a lot of people follow. For digital marketing, they say Gary is somebody you should follow. You will get basics out of it. And then there are different people. So do you feel learning from Facebook blueprint is one thing where you know basics? And then there are few people who say a lot of things around this thing every day in and out, and they are doing this. What should be the approach of learning Facebook ads and Google ads in that way?
That's a really good question. And absolutely, there is some good courses. Don't get me. There is some good teachers out there, but there is also so many gurus and experts, so-called, and that it would be hard to trust and take anything from them because they haven't done it for themselves.
Yeah.
And to promote something and to say something, you've got to
do it themselves.
Have some experience at least. I believe in that, because otherwise, how can you be promoting something where you don't have a experience? So that's the one thing. Another thing is the blueprint, etc. Blueprint isn't important because it gives you the rules, the basics. Because a lot of accounts get banned. And now is the hot topic, obviously, on the Facebook. We've been on the Facebook for about 5 years. We never had any single issue with me or one of my clients. I mean, fingers crossed. But because obviously there is a rules and there is a policy in place, you have to follow, you have to oblige. That's their platform. They make the rules. And if you want to play, you got to play by their rules. That's absolutely fine. That's understandable. And that's what the blueprint will tell you. And it's good to read, absolutely, if you day in, day out on a Facebook. Absolutely. So there is also on Google, with regards to the Google, there is free certifications as well.
Yes.
On the Google platform, which is really helpful, gives you the basic knowledge. You can take it free of charge. There is even a YouTube, I mean, even a simple places like that, the forums, the YouTube, there is a free resources. You don't have to spend thousands and thousands to be educated. As we discussed at the beginning of the stage, the main thing is the motivation. curiosity and a passion. If that combination is there, then, as I said, you don't have to have a degree. You can have just a library card and be a smart guy. And that's what it's all about. It's just a curiosity if you're really driven, and because it will have a challenges. Even the best pros in this industry will have a challenges. The accounts get shut down. The revenue, to keep the revenue kind of a steady, it's a challenge. To keep the CPM, it's a challenge. I mean, one day you can have a good, great results, you know, next
week. Day it comes down.
Exactly. So the main thing is the consistency. Another key point is the consistency. If you can be consistent within the, your result and within this industry, obviously it's helpful as well.
Great.
And, as I said, my passion is kind of been always digital. I mean, from a young age, I kind of liked technology, like gaming. And from there, obviously computers, IT, and kind of stayed with me.
Great. I think one thing which all the marketers should understand while from this conversation which I get is helping, being curious is something which will always help you in marketing. At least if you are in this domain of digital marketing, social media marketing, if you're branding and other things, it is different. But because everything changes, as you said, things become very constant. So CPC becomes constant and then you are not able to do anything. So then you will have to always find another way of doing the same thing. You will have to find a growth hack of doing the same thing. And it is very important in that way. So
absolutely, Sahil. And then with regards to one more motivation is just to see the transformation of the businesses, you know, the small businesses, because the small businesses, when we deal with the small businesses, usually the small business owner is the business. Yeah. And when the business is not doing well, it's not only puts the stress on business and the financial, but it could affect the family, it could affect the health, etc. So when I can help people, and when I can, you know, change and transform the business, and when it becomes from unprofitable to profitable, it makes kind of me feel happy. And because it's not just the marketing that I do, it's because I'm directly in contact with the business. I'm like an advisor, I'm like a consultant, I'm like everything. It's just not just the one thing, advertising, because PPC and Google is good, but without taking other things in mind, like UX, conversion rate optimization, we can divert the traffic to the website. But if the website and landing page is not converting, then we're still going to have a little bit of a problem. So it's not just a one single basic concept that are PPC or the Facebook. It's a
whole circle,
combination of different aspects. And so also the email and follow-ups, etc., automation, and many, many things. But as I said, with the one single episode, it's hard to touch all of the aspects, all of the points, Sahil. But as I said, maybe we have covered a little bit of basics. And if there is need, or if there is your audience wants to hear more, I mean, I'm sure we would be happy to, you know, schedule.
For sure. And if our audience wants to reach out to you, Georgie, where can they reach out to you?
I mean, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, I'm on pretty much LinkedIn. So LinkedIn is the main platform that I'm usually is. Facebook is more kind of a...
Facebook is not active now.
not active as much. So the LinkedIn probably would be. And my email is always on my website. So if there is any questions... please, as I said, feel free to reach out. Would be honored to help and to add my best.
Thanks a lot, Georgie, for doing this. I had a great time. I learned a thing or two in the basics part. And thank you for doing this. I had a great time.
Thank you very much, Sahil. I appreciate. And thank you, everybody who's listening. And nice meeting you as well, Sahil. All the best.
Thank you for doing this.